This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. You can trace much of San Antonio's history by the windings of the San Antonio River, once a wild river that inspired native peoples to sanctify its source. Today it is a highly designed commercial canal and flood control project that still unites people and inspires them, but in a very much different way. How did the San Antonio Riverwalk become one of the top tourist destinations in the state, and also a center point for a celebration like here with Fiesta today? Call in. We want to hear your stories about the Riverwalk, your memories, your history of the San Antonio Riverwalk. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. Email us at thesource at tpr.org and tweet us at tprsource. With us this half hour to talk about the history of the San Antonio Riverwalk in the history of Fiesta, Lewis Fisher. He's the founder of Maverick Publishing, the author of several books about San Antonio. His latest book, American Venice, the epic story of San Antonio's river. And that's out by Trinity University Press. And Lewis, welcome back to The Source.
Thank you, David.
I say welcome back because I feel like you've been here before. I've been neglecting you. I should have had you on many times because you're so full of San Antonio history and great stories. What do most people get wrong when they talk about the history of the San Antonio River? What do they misknow?
Well, probably the actual origin of the San Antonio Riverwalk. It really dates back to the beginning of the 20th century when the river went dry. The wells were pumping the water table much lower. The springs went dry, and the river was actually turned into a park in 1913.
But this was a very different type of
yes.
park and project, and then it would return with a vengeance. When the rains came,
yes, it did.
So it was a flooding issue for downtown. When did the flood happen?
Well, there were floods every few years. There were some floods. I think the first flood of the river was in 1819, and the water was maybe 6 feet high in San Fernando Church, now the cathedral. And they happened about every 50 years. There was a big one in the 1860s. But by the time the city was developing and there was more runoff, the floods kept getting worse and worse. And in 1913 alone, there were very serious floods in October and December that sent water up into the streets.
Right, and this was a catastrophic flood for San Antonio. It got national attention at the time and made people wonder that we need to do something dramatic in order to prevent this from happening again.
That was actually the flood of 1920.
Okay. All right.
Which was also catastrophic, a lot of catastrophe along the river.
Yeah, so now we have, how do we end up with the Riverwalk that we know today? I mean, what is the genesis of that idea?
Well, the park was, of course, subject to flooding up until the flood of 1921, at which point there had to be some sort of flood control developed. The bend of the river, the Horseshoe Bend, the Great Bend, the U Bend, whatever, was actually sealed off so the water would go straight in a straight line instead of having to loop around the bend. Once that could be sealed off, you did not have within the bend the high and low ranges of the water, and so you could have development at the level of the Riverwalk, and you could have restaurants and stores at that level.
Well, sure. So someone had the big idea that we're going to develop this, or they could have just paved over it.
Well, they could have, but that was something the citizens just would not take. That had been coming up. I think it was pretty much killed as early as 1911.
Now, I have heard the story that was the start of the San Antonio Conservation Society, that they had fought to preserve the river or something. Is that?
Well, that's a very good story, and it certainly has entertained people for generations.
That they would perform a little puppet show and convince people this was the goose that laid the golden egg and we should protect the San Antonio River and not pave over it.
As it turns out, the river was saved about 10 years before the Conservation Society was even organized. So that part of the story turned out to be a myth, very entertaining, but not factually correct.
So, okay, people who know the Riverwalk know the name Robert Hugman.
Mm-hmm.
And was he the person who came up with the grand design of the San Antonio Venice?
Yes, he is. He came up with the design at the time after the flood of 1921. There was a lot of flood control. Alma's Dam was built. The bend was sealed off, and there was more of an opportunity to make the park, the old park, which was mainly just sidewalks along landscape banks, to make it something more. Hugman had been in New Orleans. He was a young man. He had returned from New Orleans as an architect, where he was impressed with the way the French had preserved the New Orleans folks had preserved the French architecture. And he felt that San Antonians could do something in the Spanish vein. So he proposed an imaginative plan, which he called the Shops of Aragon and Romula. And this would involve a lot of the stonework, which we actually see today, and a lot of the imaginative landscaping.
So this was he wanted the bridges, mm-hmm. that we see over the Riverwalk, which are they slope of very low angling bridge, you know.
Yes.
And which are seem to be iconic for the Riverwalk, mm-hmm. and a design element that I think that other copycats seem to get wrong all the time.
They do. And the Arneson River Theater, too, was just a brilliant stroke.
That was a junkyard?
It was. One side of the river was just littered with car bodies, and this was the day of the WPA projects, and a lot of unemployed people were kept busy and paid for clearing off a lot of the debris along where we now sit at the River Theater.
Yes, yeah, so let's talk about the WPA part of it. So this was the Depression, and there mm-hmm. were projects that were just make-work projects to put people back to work. You know, there were mm-hmm. no jobs out there. We had to get the economy flowing again, and this was it. So who said we're going to put federal dollars into this project?
Well, Hugman had the idea, but the real business push came from a hotel man named Jack White, who was the manager of the Plaza Hotel, the building that's now the Granada Homes. He could see that his business would be improved if we had a decent looking river. Hugman's plan appealed to him. He went to the city, got the city behind him. Maury Maverick was from San Antonio, was a congressman who was a friend of Franklin Roosevelt. He helped get the federal funding, and it all came together. The project started in 1939 and was finished 2 years later.
So a federal government project using WPA, this put the local people to work.
Yes.
And they created an institution or a project or some infrastructure that exists today that continues to pay off benefits. Do you know how much it costs to do that project?
I'd have to look it up in the book, but basically we shouldn't give we shouldn't forget the taxpayers of San Antonio, who paid a certain amount too. When there were cost overruns, it was the federal government that made up for it, but there was a considerable contribution from the San Antonio taxpayers.
Okay, we're going to keep talking about the history of the San Antonio River and the Riverwalk. We invite your calls and comments. What are your memories? What questions do you have about the history of the Riverwalk and Fiesta? Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980. This is The Source on KSTX. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. With me in the studio, Louis F. Fisher. He is the author of American Venice, the epic story of San Antonio's river. He's written many books about San Antonio history. We're talking about the history of Fiesta and the Riverwalk. And so, Louis, when did the River Parade start? We had it last night, and it's been going on strong. How did it begin?
Well, the Fiesta parades began in 1891 when President Benjamin Harrison was scheduled to make an official visit. There was a... He didn't make it, but they had the party anyway, and they kept having it every year, and it featured a masked king, and they had a carnival in the street, and everything was very festive. The king traditionally arrived at the railroad station, and he was greeted at the station by a band and excited people. But by the time people began to become aware of the need to save the river, somebody had the bright idea to hold a river parade on the river and have the king arrive on the river. And that year, believe it or not, was 1905. The king came on the river, boarded some boats, rowboats, pretty ramshackle craft, I think, but started about where the auditorium is and about where, across from where La Mansión del Río is now. They got off, there were reviewing stands, and the king and his entourage disembarked and went up to the street and had their street parade. They did it, they tried it a second time in 1907. But again, the level of the water was very treacherous. To keep the water high enough to float the boats, they built a dam downstream. But the day of the parade, there was a deluge, and it washed out the dam. So they had to, it took them a couple of days to rebuild the dam and get the water back up, and they held the parade again. But they did not have another river parade for another 30 years. But there was a way in which Fiesta really did save the San Antonio River, or save the River Bend. There was a flood control project planned by some Boston engineers in 1920 that involved clearing the trees from the bend around the river so they would not act as obstacles to the flooding. The city adopted the plan. Everything was going smoothly when Fiesta came along, and the Fiesta San Jacinto Commission applied for their normal permit to decorate the trees along the river and string them with lights. Even though they didn't have parades, they still put lights in the trees. And the permit was denied by the city. And the reason was, the city said, that they couldn't decorate lights in the trees because there would be no trees. They were all being cut down for flood control. At which point, there was a massive public uprising, and this would have been in, I guess, March or April of 1920, and the City Federation of Women's Clubs had scheduled a large meeting to which the mayor and the parks commissioner were invited to please come and explain just why the trees were being cut down. Well, on their way to the meeting, the mayor and the parks commissioner decided they weren't going to cut down the trees after all, and it's simply because people woke up to that rule thanks to the Fiesta lights.
So much history, and you know, we could have done one decision, but we made another, and we've ended up with the Riverwalk that we have today. And you also chart the latest expansions of the Riverwalk, the Museum mm-hmm. Reach and the Mission Reach, and there were concerns that maybe they would not be able to duplicate or be able to expand it well enough so that the success would follow those expansions. But what are you finding?
Well, it's been one of the most remarkable developments of an urban linear park in the nation, if not in the world. The Riverwalk has gone from 3 miles to 15 miles. It's quintupled, all within a space of just a couple of years. Now, it's not the same Riverwalk as we're used to downtown. Upstream, they were able to build a dam and locks that would raise the level of the water for boats, so you can boat a couple of miles. You can still take a boat a couple of miles north up to the Pearl. To the south, it's not suitable for boating, and so you have an urban ecological restoration, environmental restoration project going on down there, where you can do hiking and biking, and even when the water's right, kayaking.
Now, there were times when the Riverwalk was not as pleasant as it is today. It was after we had the Hugman development, and it was built up, and we had a WPA, and then we had basically neglect.
We did.
And so what was the Riverwalk like during that period? What period are we talking about?
Well, the Riverwalk was dedicated in 1941 at Fiesta. It was dedicated at the Fiesta, Texas Cavaliers' first Fiesta River Parade of their own in 1941. And then within a few months, we had World War II, and people thought about other things. And then by the time the war ended and there wasn't much business along the Riverwalk, it was sort of neglected and forgotten, and a few casual strollers on weekends, casual strollers at other times of the week and especially at night were advised to keep looking over their shoulder. It was a very dangerous place because there was no reason for people to come down, and so no reason for business to open up at the river, and that actually went on until we had Hemisphere in 1968, when the river was extended for the first time into the grounds, and we had some hotels built at the level of the river, La Mansión del Río and the Hilton Palacio del Río, which opened onto the Riverwalk. So all of a sudden, we had people walking along the Riverwalk, and it didn't take businesses long to figure out that they could make a go of it down there.
We had the expansion of the Riverwalk into the lagoon at the Convention Center, which was in the middle of Hemisphere, and that was also met with some, like, people were wondering, is this proper? Should we do this to the river? Are we going to destroy the river with this development?
Well, it doesn't duplicate the river. You have, it was extended, it's been extended twice into the Convention Center. Once it was extended into River Center Mall, the first downtown shopping mall built in the country in like 40 years, and it's hard to argue with something like that. But what that does is provide a place for a lot of the franchises and the mass marketing operations to concentrate along the river without competing for space along the main part of the Riverwalk, which has been more local businesses and kept distinctive from being just a string of franchise operations.
We're talking with Louis Fisher. His book is American Venice, The Epic Story of San Antonio's River. We're focusing on the Riverwalk and the history of Fiesta. And Louis has written many books about the history of San Antonio with the Maverick Press, and now he's with the Trinity University Press. What is it that, as so many, I've seen this story many times, city dignitaries from around the country come and inspect the Riverwalk. They take pictures, they get great ideas, and say, oh, we're going to do this in the middle of Oklahoma City or what have you, and they're unable to pull it off. What is it about the San Antonio Riverwalk that makes it special?
Well, they can pull parts of it off, and they can come down here and maybe find a few things that they can duplicate. But we have here a stream that's on a very human scale. This is not a wide rushing river with banks that you can hardly see across to the other side.
And some people question our title of it being a river. You know, how do we get away with calling that a river?
Depends on what your definition of river is.
Yeah.
In Texas, it's a steady spring-fed flowing stream, and it's navigable. We have boats on it after all.
But yeah, river barges.
Right. But it is also about a full story beneath the level of the street, so that you don't really see all the traffic and the pedestrians and things going on the street above, and so you're in a different world from that standpoint. Also, without all of the cold wind and the wind in the wintertime, you can have a different environmental zone, and you can have plants and semi-tropical plants that cannot grow above the street level. And then, of course, you have the rock work that Hugman envisioned, and so you find yourself just drifting off into another world altogether. And it's something, plus you have buildings, old landmarks downtown that were built on the river as an afterthought. They opened to the street a full level
this
above.
We're looking at the back of these buildings when you're going down the Riverwalk.
We are, and it became possible just to knock doorways into the backs of the river, but to still preserve the sense that these buildings had been there a very long time, which they had been. And many, many cities have, if they had anything like this, they were cleared away, or they certainly wouldn't have opened on the back of a river that was a full story below the street level and had all of the accompanying uniqueness.
And so what is the biggest selling point when we are talking about the San Antonio Riverwalk? Is it the romance? Is it people think about it as such a romantic location. And I hear it from folks all the time all over the country about how they had honeymoons here and they just love it.
Well, of course, there are weddings on Marriage Island across from right next to the Hotel Contessa, where there seems to be, I think you have to book the weddings with the site with the Parks Department to hold a wedding there. But many people get engaged there, and it's not unusual to be walking down there on a weekend and see the bride and the groom out there on the island.
And so the inspiration, what is the architectural inspiration for the river? What are they trying to invoke with these design choices that were put there?
Well, Hungman was trying to evoke sort of a mystical Spanish era. I think to the north in the Museum Reach, you have a much more modern aesthetic where you have sleek lines and sensitivity to the environment. You have a number of estuaries that are built in along the bridges where ducks and fish can congregate, and riffles with rocks on them that herons can perch on while they do their fishing. So there's been an effort, and especially to the south, an effort to keep it as natural as it once was.
And many of the commercial shops that are there, the restaurants, you know, so many of, I remember some of them like Bawana Dick, the, you know, girls go-go dancing in cages and things. Not that, you know, from the 70s on the Riverwalk and then some other questionable places like that, they have been flushed out, and now it's all upscale.
Pretty much.
And so where is it going? What's happening? What's the next step in this evolution?
Well, I think the expansion of the Riverwalk, the extension of the Riverwalk, has drawn out the crowds and thinned them out some to some extent, so that it's not just terribly overcrowded.
It's cheek to jowl down there on the weekends.
It is. It is. And there have been efforts to put broad stairways up to the street. It's sort of the reverse problem that we had 30, 40, 50 years ago, where you tried to get people from the street down to the river. Now you're trying to get people from the Riverwalk up to the street and thin out the crowds.
And so who has jurisdiction over the river? It's the Paseo del Rio Association?
The Paseo del Rio Association is a group of merchants and businessmen who advocate for the river. The city has the final authority. The San Antonio River Authority has the does the operation, supervises the operation of the boats and the locks.
And so now that it's been expanded, mission complete, it's done or more?
It's never done. It will always be changing.
Always be just like a regular river.
That's right.
Always changing. All right, Lewis Fisher, thank you so much for joining us. His book is American Venice, The Epic Story of San Antonio's River. It is from Trinity University Press. It's filled with all sorts of photographs and trivia about San Antonio's Riverwalk, about the origins of it, the floods, the WPA project that developed this, and the design choices that were made along the way. Thank you so much for joining us, Lewis.
Thank you, David.
And this is The Source on KSTX. We'll be right back after this NPR and local news break.